So last week, I gave you a bit of a vision, of overall vision of what we are as a church. I gave you some history of what HCC is and what we stand for. And we talked a little bit then about who are you walking with, that in our Christian walk, we should be walking with someone and we should be part of this community. Okay, and so if you haven't had chance, go back and try to listen online to what I said. And for those who are listening on the recording, listen to last week's if you didn't hear it. And I hope that you get to listen to this week's as well, because this is kind of important. And so last week we said this, who are you walking with? And we talked about the fact that Jesus had three disciples who were very close to him, who he kind of mentored and helped to grow. We talked about the fact that he had a group, a small group, if you like, of 12 disciples who were with him, who learnt from him. And then he had bigger groups who he taught and he sat down with. And he modelled that and he did on-the-job training. This was from last week. Can we go to the next one? We also said that over the coming weeks, we're going to take this stuff from John Mark Comer a little. We're not using his material specifically, but we're using three of the titles that come from his book that actually come from Jewish tradition about following your rabbi. And if you're following Jesus, three things, very simple, we need to do. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. And we're going to look at those things over the coming weeks. And as we move into this morning, I'm hoping that the things we're thinking about are going to facilitate us becoming good disciples. And why do we become good disciples? To disciple other people, to lead them to Jesus. We follow Jesus to help others follow us, to follow him. And in turn, that grows the kingdom of heaven, doesn't it? So let's go to the next one. I'm only going to be brief this morning, about 15 minutes, a bit of a different morning. We're going to break into groups in a minute. Some people hate that, don't they? But I hope that it's going to be all right, because we're going to work through some things. So we said, who can I walk with at HCC? So we talked about small groups. We talked about mentoring, possibly finding someone who will help you grow, or possibly twos and threes. And then we mentioned as well other things, the prayer meeting, men's, women groups, and further. I want to step off a minute and do an aside, if you like. That was me stepping off, doing an aside. So last week when I gave the vision, one very important thing I forgot, prayer. And prayer is the foundation stone of any church. If we're not praying, we're not going to go anywhere. So we need to be seeking God. And part of the foundation of us as a church is that we pray together. So on a Sunday morning, 9:30, we pray there. On a Tuesday evening, we meet together at 83A at 7:30 to pray. You can come online or you can come. You pray as well yourselves for the church. Be praying yourself for your own growth in relationship with God. Prayer is how we build the relationship with God, in community and as a church. And we're going to try and fit in, well, we're not going to try, we're going to have a Friday again where we have a day to just fast if you want to, or and pray together. And we'll announce that soon. We'll have another day to focus on that. All right, so prayer is foundational to us as HCC as well. Forgive me for forgetting to put that in last week, but it is vital, isn't it? So, moving on then, we're going to break those three things down this week, and we are going to launch. I'm going to now do a teacher thing and say, I've got some cards here. Would you take one and pass it along? There we go. So take one of these, pass it along. We are going to relaunch, if you like, and nothing's new under heaven. I know some of you are going to sit there and say, we've done this sort of thing before. We've named these sort of things before. I know, but God can reinvigorate something, can't he? So the first thing we're going to talk about is our small groups, if you like, okay? So that's the on the level of the 12. So if we can go to the next slide, that'd be great. I'm glad the slides are working this morning. I didn't make any notes. And at the beginning this morning, the projector wasn't working, so we fiddled with it. Praise the Lord, it works. So I'm glad it does. So we are going to name our small groups life groups again. Why life groups? Well, there's multiple names you can call small groups. They could be a home group. It could be a connect group. It could be a cell group. We can find all those names. Many churches have used lots. But as we were praying, as we were talking through the purpose of small groups, this kind of kept coming back to us. And last week, as I was teaching and talking about the historical stuff of HCC, one of the verses we quoted was Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And when we say life, it's kind of exciting, isn't it? Life is energizing, it's powerful. And so I think it's a good way of saying what we are as small groups. And if you invited someone to it from outside as well, it's not really that threatening, is it? So hopefully this is a good title for our groups, okay? In one sense, that doesn't matter too much, but it gives us something to hang on, doesn't it? To say, these are our life groups. This is something you can be a part of, okay? So why do we do this biblically? Well, Jesus chose 12 disciples, didn't he? You can go look that up. I'm not going to read lots of scriptures, and I'm aware of time. We're already going into time. So he called them to be with him, and he sent them out into the world. And in that group, they experienced these things. If you want to go and read about these things, go and read your Bible. We know they happened. They were taught together. When they were with Jesus, they heard his teaching. They studied the word, if you like. They learned who he was. They experienced miracles together. I mean, the feeding of the 5,000. Last week, I mentioned Peter, James, and John when the little girl was raised. Jairus' daughter was raised to life. They experienced challenges together. I'm always interested that Jesus sent him the disciples ahead of him in the boat to cross the sea. And actually, he knew there'd be a storm, didn't he? He knew they were going to have to face that. And they had to face challenges as a group together. And we can face those challenges together in community, can't we? It's really good to have a group of people who you knew that you were with. So the disciples grew by walking alongside each other. They were not in isolation. Isolation leads us to places where we feel alone, where we feel we can't stand up. We need people to support us, and we're going to come to other things about that. So we came up with, along with the help of ChatGPT, I have to tell you, and other things, I put in all the ideas I had, because I'm not great at writing paragraphs. So I basically went, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And would you come up with a purpose for a group? Would you give us the idea of why we need these groups? I mean, obviously, we adapted it, we changed it. But when I looked, I was like, this actually helps us, okay? So this is a little statement about what life groups should be. They should be friendly, welcoming gatherings where you can connect, explore faith, and grow together through conversation, prayer, and shared life. That might be what we put on our website or something, just a little statement about what life groups are. But here is a purpose, because, can we go to the next one? Okay, if you aim for nothing, you hit it, don't you? If you don't have something to say, this is why we exist, then you're going to hit it. And so we have some groups at the moment. We have one that meets in Huntingdon. We have one that meets in God Manchester. And we have another one that meets online. Karen, Sue, Pam, your group. So we're going to say this is the purpose of those groups that exist. Okay, life groups are intentional gatherings where people learn to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. See what we're saying? Those things are simple. If you don't remember the rest of this, those are simple, aren't they? Okay. Each group's led by a facilitator. So in other words, those who are leading don't have to feel the pressure. I've got to lead. I've got to be in charge. You're facilitating your group. You're enabling your group to grow. You don't have to lead it every week. You can pass that around. You're a facilitator. You care for members while encouraging everyone to participate, share, and grow together. Life groups follow a simple rhythm built around four elements. Welcome, creating a warm, inclusive space. Worship, turning hearts towards God through prayer and music or reflection. Word, exploring scripture, applying it to daily life. And witness, encouraging one another to live out and share the gospel. We don't want to just be looking inside. Church is the one organization that exists for those who are not yet part of it. Yes? Okay, if you think you're in a little club, you're not. You're in a church. The church is the body of Christ, an army there to reach out to the world outside, okay? So witness is important. So these elements, you don't have to do them every week. They can be spread out over time. Don't become religious about this. These things are here as a guide, yes? They're principles. It's not like you must do this. These So we said that. They don't have to be included every meet. Needs are shared in the group. Pray for each other. Pray for regularly, ensuring members are supported spiritually, emotionally, and practically. Through these rhythms, life groups become places of genuine transformation and active mission. Been a number of times of versions of this, actually, as we as elders have looked at it. We've been to it, we've gone back to it, we've changed it, and here's where we've come to. We hope that this gives you, okay, this is why we meet in life groups. Is it helpful? I hope so. And I hope that that will be something we can then go, right, okay, this is why we're meeting. So that is the life group level, and that's one way of being together and sharing in community. But some might not be comfortable with being part of a life group. The things I'm going to share now, you could do all three if you want. If you really want to go all out for Jesus and get really discipled, you could do all three. Might not have time. Honestly, I don't think I'd have time to do all three of these. But so the next idea is this, mentoring. Okay? Sometimes it's really good to have a person who's a little further on in their faith, who's walked the journey, who knows Jesus maybe better than you, maybe not. In fact, I've found that when people mentor you, often it's a two-way thing in lots of ways. I had a wonderful guy who was my mentor. His name was Charles. He's gone to be with Jesus now. But his impact on my life was profound. He would challenge me. He would sometimes point out things I didn't want to hear. But he was a guy who I know was full of the Spirit and being led by God. And if you have someone in your life like that, it can't help but draw you on. So, a mentor. Among the 12, Jesus had closer relationships, as we mentioned earlier, with Peter, James, and John. So Peter especially was mentored by Jesus. So you see there's some of the things that happened, okay? He was the first one to confess Jesus as Lord, okay? Jesus prayed for him, didn't he? He said, you're going to deny me, but I've prayed for you. And then when he messed up, Jesus was there to say, look, you're still in it. You're gonna come back up. You're going to be used by God. So Peter is a good example of that. I'm skipping through this because I want us to get into groups in a minute. But basically having someone, and in this case, Peter had the best mentor you could ever have, didn't he, ultimately. It's good to have that person. So let's just skip to the next bit. So a mentoring relationship is where someone more mature in your faith, in their faith, invests in another believer. And this is a good verse. As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. Okay? And so it's good to rub against each other, to grow in faith, to learn from one another. So that could be an informal or formal relationship. You can meet for coffee, you could read scripture, you could ask honest questions about life. So that's going to be something that we're going to think about. We haven't fully got that in place yet. We might be thinking about people who could be mentors. Maybe you could do this yourself if you feel like, oh, there's someone I could ask. Okay, but it's something to be wise about. So that's one thing. And then the final thing, briefly, which is more straightforward, I think, in one sense. So if we skip to the next one. So we're talking about life groups, mentoring, possible accountability groups, so maybe twos or threes. Now, I know some of you already do this kind of thing. You meet up over coffee, you pray for each other. You maybe ask how you're doing and talk about the challenges of life. Those kind of relationships are invaluable. I remember when I got to university, the first time I did that was with a dear friend of mine who was also a Christian at a different university but nearby. And we used to meet and pray. And honestly, in that early stage of my life, 18, 19, that was one of the most constructive relationships that grew my faith. And so these kind of things can be really helpful. So in the book of Acts, it shows Paul traveling and ministering with companions. He didn't go on his own, did he? He usually took someone with him. So one key example of that was Barnabas. And when they went out, they were set apart together and the Holy Spirit sent them out on mission. Now, later on, they parted ways. They had a bit of a disagreement. Now, God might not keep you with the same person always, but sometimes he brings the person along that he wants. So later on, Paul had Silas, Timothy, and others. But there was always a small, close circle for encouragement and accountability. So that's another way to think about this. Maybe it's like, I'm not sure about a mentor, I'm not sure about a small group, life group. But maybe I could find two people or a person that I can meet with and pray with. So let's go to the next thing. So We all need that kind of relationship, two or three people who know us deeply. There's this scripture, confess your sin to each other and pray so that you may be healed. That, when you do that, that needs to be someone you trust, doesn't it? Okay, it does say in the Bible to do it, but sometimes we need to be able to go and say, hey, Christine, I'm struggling with this in my life. Would you pray for me? And if you trust Christine, I'd trust Christine. You'd say that to her, wouldn't you? Okay. And so those kind of relationships, and this verse as well, Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. If one falls down, the other can help them up. Having that sort of person who says, come on, I'll help you, I'll walk with you, you're struggling, I know I can be with you. So those things can help you fight temptation, be focused in prayer and supported through your struggles. So those are the three levels of things you can do. Not one is better than the other. They can all aid and help each other, can't they? Yes? And these are the things I want to say to you this morning. Take hold of this. We need to be disciples, don't we? We need to be following Jesus.